Welcome to the New Beginnings Community Church Podcast. Here at NBCC, we welcome the imperfect, flawed, and broken, as much as the healing and thriving, because we are all God's children. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Hello, everybody. Good to have you here today as we're going to talk on some more stress. You guys ready to talk about some more stress? Okay, good. Yay. Did somebody say yay? All right, yay, on the stress, okay, I like that. Well, it's good to have you here this morning, and I've got that I guess they did predict it, they got a little bit of it right, and more rain, so that was good. Today, we're in our second part of our 5 weeks speaking about stress. And how many of you have stress in your life, anxiety from time to time? Everybody raise your hand, please. Doesn't mean you can't have peace in the middle of it, but we all have stress and pressures in life. Today I want to talk about, the title is, They Just Don't Listen. And you'll see as I go along what I mean by that. I heard this statement years ago. I've used it here at church multiple times, and I want to make the statement right now. It says, if you make a wrong turn while driving, you lose 5 minutes. But if you make a wrong turn in life, you could lose 5 years. Any amens on that? It really costs you a lot, you know. So proper decision making is a big deal, because if we make good decisions, we can have peace in our tomorrow. If we make bad decisions and then compound it with other bad decisions, then we could have stress and anxiety for quite a long time, something we just don't want. And so today we're going to talk, and as I was putting the outline for the whole series together about a couple months ago, I thought, you know, what are the different topics that we need to cover within stress? And then God popped in my mind this idea, you know, the thought about decisions, that we need to make proper decisions, and proper decisions can eliminate a lot of stress within our life. Let me put it to you this way. Let me go back in time. About 1987, I was a youth ministries pastor, which means pastor over teenagers and junior high and high schoolers, back when I was at a different church, and I was a youth minister before I planted this church. And as you know, you guys know I'm a backpacker. So I took about 8 of them backpacking the High Sierras. And we went out of Cottonwood. Some of you have backpacked Cottonwood with me out of Lone Pine. And you travel to Cottonwood. But back then, when I was younger, I never stopped at Cottonwood. I'd go over New Army Pass, which is 12,400 feet with a full pack on, drop to the other side. And then you come into, after you've traveled 13 miles, you come into a lake called Soldier Lake, and that's where you'd make your campsite. And I did that about 4 or 5 times when I was younger, okay? I don't go over the pass anymore. But one day at Soldier Lake, I said, hey, there's this mountain right in front of us, and it's called the Major General. And it's 12,400 feet, and you go over New Army, you drop into Soldier Lake at about 10,003, you drop into it. And I said, why don't we climb to the top of that mountain? You know, they're high schoolers. Okay, you know, so we climbed up. And there's no trail. You just have to kind of figure your way as you get to the top of this mountain. And we got up there. And we stayed up there a while. And then I decided, and them with me, the 3 or 4 that went with me up there, I said, let's run down. And so we ran down. Full blast, no trail. And as I'm running down, mind you, I was 1987. I was like 6 years old at that time. And I was 31 years old, so I was still young. I could move. And so running down, you're making your trail. You're trying to figure out where you're going as you're dropping over 2,000 feet. You're moving down. You're running. And by the way, I did that stupid thing again 20 years ago when I was in my 15 years ago? Something, I don't even remember. I'm so old, I don't remember. So I'm running down, and I come to this place, and I'm running full blast, and it's hard to stop when you're going down in a full blast. And I come to this place where it's a granite drop-off of 30 feet. And man, I skid to a stop. And I stopped myself about probably 5-10 feet before I got there and went over, because it would have been really bad. Any amens on that? So with all that said, I go, you know, what was the problem in all of that? What was my problem besides that I was stupid? How many know that right there? Besides being stupid, and what was my problem? The problem was this. There was no trail. I'm just improvising as I go along. And as I improvised as I went along, I hit a part where, because there's no trail, then I could have gone over the edge and I could have caused myself a lot of damage that would not just be damage today, it would be damage into my tomorrows. As it is with trails or no trails in life, that's the same way life is. Every one of us in this room, no matter our age, that we're all faced with decisions. You know, there are trails that you and I have never ever been on. We've never experienced them. And when we come to those trails, we don't know which way to take. And so now it's just an improvisation and it's a guess. And we can guess wrong many times. Any amens? And the problem is, if I make a wrong turn while driving, I lose 5 minutes. But if I make a wrong turn in life, I can lose years. And so today we're going to look at a young man by the name of Rehoboam. And we're going to look in your favorite book that you probably read every week, 2 Chronicles. That's a joke, okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 10. And if you have your Bibles, his name is Rehoboam. And this guy, he's going to create what I will call a stress highway. People do create stress highways in their life through bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And we can incur stress in our life. But the reverse is true, that if we make right decision, we incur peace in our life. Any amens? So this guy, Rehoboam, he is the son of King Solomon. Solomon has now passed away. He's died. And so now Rehoboam, the son, is now the king, and he's a young man. And he's going to face a major crisis. He's going to face a major decision from the get-go in his new position. And it's this big decision that's going to cause him a lot of pain, stress, and in the decision, he's going to create this stress highway in his life. So I want to look at his life. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 10. I'm going to give you three things, and we're going to see the stress highway that this man creates, this Rehoboam, this young king, inexperienced young man. And so here we go. Number one in your notes, and that's this. To create a stress highway, tell yourself you know better. If you want to create stress in your life, just constantly tell yourself, I know better. I know better than everyone else. Now, watch this in verse 1 through verse 8. Let me read it. Then I'm going to comment. I'm going to tell you what's happening and make some thoughts, bring some thoughts on that before we get deeper into it. Verse 1. Then Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. It came about when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was in Egypt where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon. The Jeroboam returned from Egypt. So they sent and summoned him. When Jeroboam and all Israel came, they spoke to Rehoboam, saying, now remember, he's come there to be made king. So he's a brand new king, guys. Here's the question they throw at him. Your father made our yoke hard. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. He said to them, return to me again in 3 days. So the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father, Solomon, while he was still alive, saying, how do you counsel me to answer this people? They spoke to him, saying, if you will be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Say forever. Forever. Verse 8, but he forsook, say forsook. He forsook the counsel of the elders, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. Now, let me break this down. So Rehoboam is a new king. He is very young. And the day, it's seeming like the day that he's thrust into the position and anointed for the position, there's a major decision that's thrown right at him. The people come before him, and a guy by the name of Jeroboam, not Rehoboam, Rehoboam's the king, Jeroboam, he had fled to Egypt for a time to get away from Rehoboam's father, King Solomon. He comes back once he hears Solomon's dead. And Jeroboam, along with the nation, they come up to Rehoboam and they got some questions. And their big question is this: we want to know what you're going to be like. See, your father was hard on us, and Solomon was hard. He drove him hard. He built his empire. We want to know what you're going to be like. And here's our question, Rehoboam. If you'll lighten the load on us, if you just be easier on us, and don't be like your father who was so hard on us, we'll serve you, and we'll serve you for how long? We'll serve you forever. Now, we know that he hears these elders, and this is the right move. He says, okay, tell the people. And so now he says, okay, give me 3 days, and I'll go talk. And he talks to the elders. He talks to the older, wiser people in the land. These are the ones who know the trail. These are the ones who've been down the roads and understand. These are the guys you want to talk to, because he's a young man, and he needs wisdom on what to do. So he makes a good first step, does he not? And they give him really good advice, that if you just lighten it up, this is what, these people are going to serve you forever. But it says he forsook the counsel of the elders. He didn't listen to them. Now, let's drive this one home. Now, forever. How long is forever? It's just, okay, yeah, I know it's forever, okay. It's forever, yeah. Let's just say it's a long time, right? But is forever into tomorrow? Yes. Is it into the day after tomorrow? Does forever reach into next month? Yes. Does forever reach into a year from now? Yes. Does forever go into 5 years from now? Yes. In other words, forever is about consequences in the tomorrow, is it not? Yes. They say, if you listen to them, here's the right decision, then your tomorrow and your next week and your next month and your year and your 5 years, it's going to be really good for you. Are you tracking with that statement right there? So they're giving them wisdom. So they're thinking down the road. Now, Proverbs 22 verse 3 says this: the prudent sees the evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and are punished for it. Now, what is the writer saying? The writer of Proverbs, Solomon, what's he saying here? He says the wise person, they're looking down the road. They can see the consequences of a decision. They can see if it's a bad decision, they're not going down that road. They're looking beyond right now. But the fool, the naive, they don't think about these things. They don't need to listen to anybody. They're just going to do what they want to do, and they're going to go right down the road, and they're going to incur the results of bad decision, which brings about more stress in life. Any amens? It's a very wise statement that we're reading right here. Now, how do I put it? Let me give you an illustration, and this will apply to some, but not to everybody. It's like this. Let's say that you can't afford a new car, but you know, you want a new car, and you're just gonna go on the lot and you're just gonna look, right? And your spouse said, no, we cannot afford a new car. I'm the one who looks, I'm gonna go look. So you go look, and then they get you to sit down in the car, right? And it smells what? Right. Smells really good, man. You're not even smelling 7 years, 84 months of payments, right? All you can smell is new car right now. And you sit there go, and then you know all the commercials that you've heard all your life that you deserve it. Don't they tell you that? You deserve it. No, you don't. Or otherwise, you walk on lots, you go, what car do I deserve today? You know, what do I deserve? And so you decide you're going to get the car. And so you buy the car, and you sign dotted line, and you put the minimum down, whatever, and the payment is this much, and you're feeling really good. But all you remember is that new car smell of the moment. You're not thinking 84 payments later, are you? And so you get the first payment, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is one of 84. Anybody amen on that one? It's one of 84. And now you're upset, and you say, that salesman, they tricked me, they talked me into it. Question, how old are you? No. You're not 4 years old. You walked on the lot on your own volition. You made the decision. The salesman is just doing what they need to do. They need to make a living. Any amens? And that's what they're going to try to do. So don't blame them. So you made the decision, and now you're locked into these things because all you were thinking about is right now. new car smell, and I might look pretty cool in this thing, right? And now you're stuck in this. Now, let me give you another angle on this whole thing. Too many people, and I'll just stay in the money issue right now, too many people buy, charge up, because they're not happy. Any amens? And so they buy things, and they got to get this thing because it makes them happy for how long? I don't know, a week or two? And then you have to live with yourself, right? Because you're not happy, so you got to get something else that's new, right? To make you happy for the next week or two, right? And then we keep doing this, and finally we dig ourselves in these deep holes because we're thinking in the right now. We're not thinking about forever. We're not thinking about the decisions down the road. I'll give you one. I've said this before. I was 21, and then I blinked, and I'm in my 60s. How many know what that feels like? I won't raise my left one because it hurts right now. That's how old I am. I did a lot of yard work yesterday. It's killing me, man. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It literally is killing me. Because I still think I can do those things. I was 21 and I blink and I'm in my 60s. Goes by fast, doesn't it? Young people, it goes by fast. Old people say amen. Amen. See, a bunch of old people in here. I knew it. And so, young people, listen up. You have to start thinking differently, possibly. You have to start thinking that one day you're going to be in your 60s. And you better start thinking about that way back here, at least in your late 20s, somewhere in your 30s, at latest early 40s, think about it. Because you got to start thinking about retirement, because it's coming for everybody, is it not? And you don't want to be all stressed out down the road and barely hanging on to life because you did not plan right now. You got to start thinking about that right now. The fool does not look down the road. The wise person looks around, sees evil, and avoids it. That's why you have to learn to tell yourself, no, look, some of you have so much money, you can buy whatever you want. Could I hang out with you? No, I'm just joking. But most of us cannot. And so we have to tell ourselves, no, I can't get that. And I've got to put away retirement account, put away, because I've got to think down the road. Any amens? We have to look down the road. And if we're not looking down the road on every major decision of life, we're going to have a lot of stress in our tomorrow. Is that correct? Now, this guy right here, Rehoboam, stress highway. He's building it. He ain't going to hear nobody. Nobody going to tell me what to do because, you know, I'm in my 30s. I know everything now. Shut up, okay? You don't know much at all. How many remember the 30s? You thought you knew everything. Anybody raise your hand? Old people, and I'm saying, no, raise your hand. I remember I thought I knew so much in my 30s. And then you get older and you realize, I didn't know anything in my 30s. I thought I was so smart, and I wasn't so smart. Now, I try to be transparent with you guys and about my life and the dysfunction I've dealt with. You want to hear another one you've never heard before? I bet you do. This is true. This is the way I looked at life. And I looked at life into 10 years of my faith. I didn't realize I was doing this. It's stupid to say it out loud. I grew up with this tremendous disrespect of men 20 years older than me. Father figure types. I didn't realize I had it, but growing up in the alcoholic home, it's where it developed. And so whenever a man 20 years older than me, like a boss or whatever, would tell me something, I would nod yes, but inside my heart I'm thinking, that's so stupid. And that's really what I thought. I would just think, that's the dumbest thing, and I would just... I'm not going to hear a word you say. And I went through years that way because I knew better than them. How many of you have ever seen the movie Young Frankenstein? Raise your hand. Where have the rest of you been at all your life? Young Frankenstein, right? Remember when, so do you know the movie, the rest of you take a siesta. Remember in the movie where they got to go get Frankenstein a brain? They sense Igor. Remember Igor? He goes, remember, what hump? You know, remember that guy? And he says, and he goes, gets a brain. And he brings it back and they put the brain in Frankenstein. And Frankenstein turns out to be out of control, crazy. Remember that? And finally they get him under control. And then Dr. Frankenstein says to Igor, what kind of a brain did you get me? He goes, oh, Abby. Abby what? He goes, oh, Abby normal. And Gene Wilder, who's Dr. Frankenstein, says, "You had me put an abnormal brain in the monster." And he starts choking. Remember that scene right there? Okay. Abnormal brain right here, okay? Because I didn't listen. And when you don't listen, you got an abnormal brain. Because you're not listening to anybody, because you just know better. Now, what was my problem? I wasn't a grown-up. This is the way I lived up until I was 33 years old. I wasn't a grown-up, and I didn't like anybody tell me what to do. I didn't take correction. No way, because I just know better. I was dumb. Let's just say it there. I was just dumb. And if you're not going to listen to people, you're going to be dumb, and you're going to go down the road, and you're going to increase stress in your life, and you're going to find life passing you by, everybody moving ahead, but you know better than everybody else, right? And that's what's happening to this guy right here. Now, he's dumb. But now we're going to see that he's not just dumb. He's dumb and dumber. Any amens? Now watch this. He's going to go dumb and dumber now. That's point two. Now watch this. You want to create a stress highway. Secondly, seek wisdom from the inexperienced and unwise. That's always a great move, right? Seek an experience from wisdom from the inexperienced and the unwise. Now watch what he does. Watch what Ray and Boom does, because now he's going to go dumb. He's dumb, but now he's going to go dumb and dumber. Verse 8 through 11. But he forsook the counsel of the elders which they had given him and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. Oh, that's a smart move. Verse 9. So he said to them, now he's going to ask the guys he went to school with, "What counsel do you give me that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us?" The young men who grew up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you shall say to the people who spoke to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter for us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins." It means my little finger is thicker than my dad's waistline. Verse 11, "Whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So here he is. So he says, forget what the older, wiser people say who know the trails of life, who've been where I've never been before. I'm going to listen to the young guy. Now, did you notice that the young guys, there's two things about them. They grew up with him and they served him. Did you catch that? Yes. Now, this is very important, because what position was Rehoboam before he was the king? He was the what? Okay, his dad was the king, so he's the what? He's the king's son. Now, do you think there's privileges there? Wouldn't you want to hang out with the king's son? I mean, don't you think they have like box seat to the Jerusalem Lakers? You get to go? I mean, you get to hang out with this guy. You're growing up. We're in junior high and high school. Now, do you think they ever crossed him and told him something he didn't want to hear? No, because they want to hang out with this guy because there's privileges, right? So now he rejects the experience of the older. And he says, because he's dumb, now he's going dumb and dumber, and he says, "I'm going to find out what my high school buddies think." Do you think they're going to tell him anything he doesn't want to hear? No, they're not going to. They're yes men, guys. This is what they are. They're just yes men. And they say this. "You tell him, you think my dad was tough? I'm going to be way tougher. My dad disciplined you with whips. A regular whip was used to discipline a slave. Say, but you tell me you're going to discipline with scorpions. That's not a scorpion sting. That's not what that means. A scorpion is a whip that has pieces of bone or metal tied to the very end of the straps. If you ever saw the Passion of the Christ when they were whipping Jesus, you saw those things on the end, the way it gripped him, pulled, that's a scorpion." He says, I'm going to hit you with those things. In other words, it's going to be worse on you guys. And so now he listens to the young guys who have zero experience, and he's going to reject the experience of the elders. Let me give you an example here. Do you remember a couple years ago when I almost passed out driving my car? Remember when that happened to me? Raise your hand if you remember. You guys, the rest of you just don't remember, huh? You don't care about me whatsoever. No. So I'm driving, and thank God I'm at a red light. And I'm going to pass out. And I remember I opened the truck. I was ready to jump out of the truck, because in case I'm stroking, I want somebody to know, there's that guy on the side of the road. What's he doing there, you know? Somebody will call the ambulance. But then I popped back in. Thank God I don't have those spells anymore. Thank God. But I got really shook. You guys remember I got real shook about that? Do you remember what I told you a couple years ago when that happened? What I told my wife that day, because I was really shook. I thought, what if someone happens to me? Olivia's got to know this, 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 and this. Here's what I told my wife. First, I told her, you are very fortunate to be married to me. No, I didn't say that. Bad Jim. No, I said, Olivia, if something happens to me, and I know I'm okay, but if something happens to me, you take the life insurance policy, and you go talk to Mike Enriquez, who comes to church here. I won't point him out in the crowd here. You go talk to him. He'll know what to do. He will help you because he's got experience in that area. You take the living trust. You go to Vina. It's our accountant. She comes to church here. She'll know what to do. She'll help you because I handle all that stuff. And I would go to these people anyway, myself. I said, that's what you need to do. Because these people know what they're doing and I can trust them with my life. That's what you got to do. Let me tell you what I didn't tell her. I didn't say, Olivia, something happens to me. If I go, take the life insurance policy, take the living trust, go down to Centennial when you see a couple of ninth graders coming out. Go say, here's the life insurance policy and living. What do you think I should do? I didn't do that. Why? Those kids are kids. They don't know what to do. But that's what Rehoboam did. He went and talked to his cronies. He said, what do you think I should do? He went and got wisdom from the inexperienced. First he says, I don't need to hear the wisdom of the wise, the older people, dumb. Now he's going to go talk to the wisdom of the inexperienced, dumb and dumber. You know what's the weirdest thing to me? Here's what's weird to me as I read this story. These young guys who come up with this plan on what to do, do you notice they all think it's a great plan? Anybody notice that? It's the worst plan, but they think it's a great plan. Because they're dumb and dumber. They're dumb and dumber. That's right. You know, when I was planting the church, back in, it was 91, needed into 92, because 92 we opened, went public. I was on the phone 2 and 3 times a week with somebody I knew that planted a church. You know why I did that? Because I'd never been that way before. I never walked down these roads. I didn't know what to do and so many little details and things about planting a church. And every week I'm on the phone with a pastor. He passed away. He used to have his church right here on 71 Freeway. Dave Steckline. He was a good friend of mine. Dave, what do I do next? What do I do next? And he gave me all that. He saved me so much time, so much energy, so much pain. Saved me so much because I was listening to somebody else who knew the road, who knew the way. And if you want to avoid pain, strife, anxiety, stress in your life, that's what you got to do in life. Now, he's dumb and he's dumber, right? Now he's going to go dumb and dumber and dumber-er. Okay? Now watch this. This is a stress highway. This is where it all leads to right now. Number 3 in your notes, and that is this. You want to create a stress highway? Watch the decision blow up into a giant stress mess. Has anyone made a decision that blew up into a giant stress mess besides me? Raise your hand. I want to know. Okay. All the rest of you have made perfect decisions all your life. Okay, praise the Lord. We need to have you up here, man. Tell us all what to do. Now watch this. He's making this bad decision making. Listen to the wrong people. And now watch the stress come into his life. Verse 12. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam. Here it comes, on the third day. Now, they're all coming back. They want to know the answer. As the king had directed, saying, return to me on the third day. The king answered them harshly. And King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the elders. He said, forget the old guys. I'm not going to listen to them. I know what I'm doing. He spoke to them according to the advice of the young men. I'm going to go with my cronies from high school because we got all the experience. Saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people. Here it comes. For it was a turn of events from God. that the Lord might establish his word, which he spoke through Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. When all Israel saw, and here they just heard what he said. When all Israel, the nation just heard what he said. When all Israel saw, the king did not listen to them. The people answered the king, saying, what portion do we have in David? David is Rehoboam's grandfather, and the kingdom of David was to continue. And they're saying, we're not part of this anymore. Forget this kingdom. We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Jesse is Rehoboam's great grandfather, David's father. Every man to your tents, O Israel. Now look after your own house, David. So all Israel departed to their tents. Here's what just happened. He doesn't listen. He's done. He listens to his cronies who know nothing. They don't know the trails of life. So he goes dumb and dumber. And he thinks everything's going to turn out okay. Remember what the elders said? If you do what these people are asking, they'll follow you for how long? Which is tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 5 years. It's going to be a lot of peace in your future because this is a smart decision. It's not going that way. So now what happens is once he tells them, I'm going to make it tougher on you guys, what the people say is, we're out of here. We're done with you. 10 of the 12 tribes, there are 12 tribes in Israel, they split. It's called the Northern Kingdom now. Whenever you read from here on, you see Kingdom of Israel, Kingdom of Judah. Rehoboam only gets to keep two of the tribes, Benjamin and Judah, and that's all he's got. So now you have division. Say division. Now it's very important. We're going to drive this puppy home. Division. Say it again. Division. He thought he had control over everybody. Now his life is out of. That's right, huh? That's right. You make a wrong turn while driving, you lose 5 minutes. You make a wrong turn in life, you lose years. Now here he goes. He's dumb and dumber and dumber-er now. Are you following? Now he's going to go to dumb and dumber and dumber-er-er and dumber-er-er-er-er. Because you know what he does now? Let me fill you in on the blanks. You can read it when you go in the next chapters. You know what he does? He decides, no, you're not leaving. And so he musters up 180,000 soldiers from his two tribes. We're going to go fight our countrymen. We're going to go after the 10 tribes. We're going to force them to come back here, and I am your king. You're going to follow me. Now he's ready to go to war. Say war. War. Say division. Division. Say war. War. And how many people right now listening to me? You look fine here, but at home it's division and it's war. Because you fight. It's bad decisions. It's bad decisions. And you won't listen. One of you just won't listen. Or maybe you're a single person and it's in your head. It's division and it's war because you keep making bad decisions because you know better because you're 30 years of age. And you incur more stress and more stress. And you just keep justifying it to yourself. You keep doing that. And you don't listen. Don't listen to the elders. Don't listen to the people who know the trail. Don't listen. Just do, because you know better. You know better than everybody in this room. In fact, you could come up here and give us all the wisdom of your life. No, you're dumb and dumber. You need to listen to people. Let me. Can I segue and come back? Is that okay? Okay. So, decisions. There's this thing, and I was talking to you guys here, I was gonna give you another dysfunctional, something I call the zone. And I said, I'm gonna share with you what I call the zone. In my world of issues, you go, yeah, Jim, you got issues. Yeah, I got it, okay. But there was something that I stumbled upon in all my readings, and this is going back decades, been reading, and I've run into it many times, and I've practiced it myself, I had to catch it myself. I call it the zone. the person gets an idea in their mind. And everybody's telling you, that's not a good idea. Oh no, I know better. No, you shouldn't marry that girl, or you shouldn't marry that guy. There's a lot of problems there. No, I know better. Or whatever the decision is, and you're going to do it no matter what. No matter what, 10 people are telling you, no, it's wrong. You're just going to do it. We call it the zone in dysfunctional circles. And you do it. Whatever that decision, you just do it, and you bring more stress. So I'm sitting with somebody. The last time I dealt with the zone on a major level. Person asked me to meet them somewhere, okay. So I'm sitting in the vehicle with them. Marriage is on the rocks. And I'm trying to help them save the marriage. And you think, some of you think pastors just sit around all day playing tiddlywinks or whatever, right? We're dealing with major problems all the time. And I listened to this person. And they started to share with me what they did. And in my mind, I'm going, nobody in their right mind would do this. And it really upset their spouse. If I shared with you what they did, you'd say what I said to them. You'd say, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? And when I asked that person, I go, what were you thinking? And they go, I don't know. You know, it's like when you ask your 10-year-old, why'd you do that? I don't know. Except you're not 10 now. Except you're in a marriage now. Except you have to be responsible now. But now these decisions and that decision, the zone, you're just going to do it no matter what, no matter what, no matter what they've said, I'm going to just do it. And now everything's crumbling. And now there's division. And there's war. Let's change division war to stress. And pressure. Anyone like going home to peace? I do. I do. I don't want division. I don't want war. You have to be wise. You have to listen. You have to make smart decisions. Now back to Rehoboam. Say division.
Division.
Say war. So he's dumb, he's dumb and dumber, he's dumb and dumber-er, he's dumb and dumber-er-er. And now he's going to become dumb and dumber-er-er-er-er-er-er. Okay? He's not done. Because once you make a bad decision, if you don't think, you're going to keep compounding bad decisions to try to fix a bad decision, and you're going to make it worse. Any amens? You ever seen that before? It's insanity. And you bring more stress on your life. You know what he does now after he wants to go to war? A prophet talks him out and says, don't go to war. That's chapter 11. And then you go to chapter 12. We're not going to, you read it later. You know what he does? It says he forsook the law of God, which means he forsook God. Now, stop right there. Listen, somebody stuck in a cycle. Way back in chapter 10, we read that when the elders gave him wisdom, it says he forsook the wisdom. Remember that? Do you remember that? Now we jump two chapters. He's messing it up because he knows better, you know. And now he forsook the law of God. Does that sound like any kind of cycle happening? I don't need to listen to anybody. Do whatever I want. And watch how unsuccessful I can make my life. He forsakes God. Here's what happens. The king of Egypt, a guy named by the name of Shishak, he comes into Jerusalem. He invades. Rehoboam's father Solomon, when he builds a temple, he puts these golden shields. I think there's six of them. Six golden shields in the temple. You know, it's something to look at. You know, golden shields. Shishak comes in. Rehoboam is already like down the create the stress highway road, forsaking God, not listening to anybody. And Shishak comes in. He takes the shields. Gone. And Rehoboam, he decides, I'm going to replace him, but I don't have any gold. And he makes bronze shields. And he put 6 bronze shields in the temple. Now he's pretending everything is fine. Say pretending. Let's start over. Division. War. Pretending. And that's what happens. I'm not going to listen. I'm single. I'm not going to listen, but I'm married. No, I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. We're not going to die. I'm going to do what I want to do. You keep making bad decisions. And now there's division. In marriage, there's division. In your head, there's division, single person. And then there's war. There's war in your head because, you know, things are crazy now because it's out of control. And there's war at home because I told you this and that. And now we're fighting. And then we come to church and go, hey, how's it going? It's going great. Pretending. Anybody, amen? Home, amen? Well, we know everything is stressed. Everything is anxiety. Everything is pressure because we are not going to listen to anyone. Don't marry that person, but they're so good looking. Have you ever thought about their issues and emotional nature? Their anger? You ever thought about that? I know, but they're so good looking. We've seen that, right? And then they marry them, and then 6 months later, a year later, it's like, why did I ever marry this person? And you could take that and play that out in anything. That bad decision, and here we go. Here we go. Now, Jim, you've painted a really dismal picture today.
I know.
Can it be turned around? Can you turn it around?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you got to decide to turn around. You got to listen to what I said today. You got to listen to people who are older than you, walked those roads before. You got to quit just listening to yourself thinking you know everything. When you've never walked certain trails in life, you don't know. You don't know what you don't know. You don't even know you don't know it. So Moses, he realizes he's the deliverer of Israel from the Egyptians. And so one day he looks left and he looks right. And he decides, today's the day of deliverance. I'm going to deliver all of Israel from all the Egyptian soldiers and taskmasters. And he gets an Egyptian and he kills him. And he buries him in the sand. What a smart move, right? It's the dumbest move he could make. He is found out and he runs. And he has to run from Egypt and he runs for 40 years. He's messed it up. Oh, he has messed it up so bad. And for 40 years, he's out there playing his mind. Man, I just, God, why did I do that? And then finally one day, because now Moses is ready to listen. And the question is, are you ready to listen? And he sees the bush burning. And he says, I must turn aside and see this marvelous sight. The bush burns, but is not consumed. And he goes up to Mount Sinai. And he has that experience face to face with God. And God gives him the instructions because he's ready to listen. He says, you messed it up 40 years ago, Moses. But it's not over. It's not done. We could turn this thing around. But you got to listen now. You're going to go back and you're not going to deliver it by your physical muscle. You take this staff. I'm going to deliver the people through the staff. And Moses listens and he obeys. And he goes back and he becomes a deliverer. There's even a time when he listens to his father-in-law, the older person in his life. He said, Moses, you're going to wear yourself out. You need to listen to me. And by now, Moses is delivered. He's doing all the right stuff. And he says, okay. And he listens, even as an older man. So can life be turned around? If you listen. If we choose to listen. And listen to the people who are older than us, wiser than us, and seek out that wisdom. Or else you're going to find yourself running down that mountain again. No trail. But this time you just might go over the cliff. And it's a long recovery if you go over that cliff. Some of us know right now. Because you got to get wisdom from others. You got to get wisdom from others. We can undo our stress highways by listening, listening to the wisdom of the older people and going with that wisdom down the trails we've never been through before. Or we can say, I know it, I know better, I know better than everybody else, and go ahead, have at it, have at it. And you incur bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, stress, 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 and then you have to pretend that you're fine the way it is, and you're not. And you're fooling nobody. Come on, you're fooling nobody. It's time to listen. You can turn it around, but it's time to listen, man. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, such a simple way to eliminate stress and anxiety and worry in our life. Make good decisions. Seek the wisdom of the wise. Trust the wisdom of the wise. Quit acting like you know everything, because you don't. And then quit pretending that you're okay and fine with the last bad decision you've made. Quit pretending. Come on, quit pretending. There's division, there's war, and there's pretending. And remember, and now you're developing a cycle. He forsook the wisdom of the elders, now he forsook the law of God. Now you're in a cycle. You're in a doom loop. Bad decision after bad decision, because you just know better. I pray God that somebody turns their life around. It's never too late to turn it around. It's never too late to fix things, because our God is a great big God, but it takes surrender. Now, with that said, sitting here this morning, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, he's the wisest of all. He's the Savior of mankind. You've never given him your life and say, here I am, take me. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to follow. Lord, forgive me of my sins, and you can be forgiven of your sins. Spirit of God, come to dwell in me, and the Spirit will come and live in you, and you'll be born again. If you've never done that, then today's the day. Or maybe you backslid and you know you're just not living for God. Come on, quit pretending. It's time to get it right. It's time to get it right. If you would like to put your faith in Christ or rededicate your life, I want you to do one thing right now as a sign between you, me, and God. And that is, I want you to open up your eyes right where you're sitting. And look up at me. I'm going to look back at you. Once our eyes have met, you can close your eyes. But do it right now as I look around the room. Now, those who looked up at me, I'm going to say a prayer, and I want you to repeat this prayer. And when you say it, everyone here is going to say it with you out loud. See, the New Testament teaches that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. You must believe Jesus is God, that he did come to earth and he died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead, resurrection. You must believe that's the gospel. And you must ask him to forgive you of your sins, and you must confess it that way. So repeat after me, everybody say it with those who looked up. Here we go. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
For dying for me on the cross, for shedding blood, your blood, to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me, Lord. And I know I'm forgiven. Come into my life. I surrender to you, to your word. Thank you for saving me. And today I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. Now let me pray. God, I pray for everyone who looked up. follow Christ. Get into church. Get a Bible. You don't have one? The prayer partners after service or here, they'll give you one if you ask for one, or in the lobby at the Welcome Center, they'll give you one for free. But begin to be a follower and worshiper of Jesus Christ. And then watch how your life takes a turn. Watch how things begin to get a little better, a little better, a little better. I'm not telling you won't have problems. Life is a big problem. But you will not be alone. You'll have the Spirit of God with you. And you'll have the wisdom of God as you learn it through this Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen and amen. Stand up with me, everybody. Repeat after me. Lord, keep me outward focused. And fill me with your Spirit. Give me the boldness to share the gospel with others. Open up opportunities to minister outside the church because I see what I'm looking for, and make me into a generous person like you. God bless you guys. We'll see you later.
If you need prayer or dedicated your life to Christ, please reach out to us on our social media, on Facebook and Instagram at NBCCNorco, or email us at hello@nbcc.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to share and subscribe to this podcast.